sitting in the office, and I went to the door between apartments, and there were some folks waiting. And in case those folks are here this morning, I will not reveal anything that might even tell the people who this is. But that was a young lady who's grown up in our church since, or at least for a number of years, I'm guessing 4, 5, 6, 7 years in our church. 18 years of age, leaving home. Now, she doesn't have a bad home. Neither does she have a perfect home. But she was leaving home. And I stood out in the hallway, I guess for 45 minutes, seemed like to 45 minutes to an hour, and with loving kindness tried to keep her from leaving home. Friday night, a couple came to my office, a lady especially, very frustrated, very much in need of help. I could help her. I could take the Word of God, and I could take just plain old common sense and the Holy Spirit leadership and help her. I knew what she needed. I knew we had here in the Bible and in this church what she needed. And so then I thought, heard some things this week about a young lady who was in our high school. I sent her, in fact, I paid her away to high school for a year or two. She came to my office one day and said, "I'm quitting school." I said, "You're headed for misery." "No, I'll still live for God. I'll still live for God." "No," I said, "you won't either." I said, "Even if you could live for God outside of high school, the fact that you want to leave means there's something else brewing down in here besides just leaving the high school. There's a reason for it. There's rebellion." And I heard this week about some things that she's done. She said, no, I'll live for God. I said, "No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll be out in sin. You'll be out in the world. Your mom and dad are not faithful to the church, and you'll be out." "Oh, no. I said, "No, you'll be out." And she's out in the world, and I heard about it this week, and my heart was grieved. And strangely, last night, late at night, I turned toward this passage, and I had a sermon all prepared, ready to preach this morning. My mind started thinking, "How long wilt thou cut thyself? How long wilt thou cut thyself?" It is not unusual in the East to see this scene in the streets. It is not unusual to see someone, sometimes a man, and even sometimes a woman, in the streets in the East, taking knives and slicing up their bodies. It is not unusual for them to take a knife and just slit the face and have blood rush down from the face. It is not unusual in the East for people even to take spears and swords to cut themselves, to exhibit in front of the crowds their pain in order to gain sympathy or to do penance. Oftentimes, if a prophet is coming to visit in a certain area, people will line the streets, and in trying to get the attention of that prophet or to assure that prophet of their dedication to the religion that he embraces, they'll take knives or even spears or swords and slice themselves. They'll cut their head or cut their breasts or cut their face. And sometimes they'll take white sheets and put those white sheets over their bodies so the blood can show more clearly as it flows upon the white sheets. All of this is simply to show the blood flowing copiously from their bodies. Now, the truth is they're trying to gain attention from religious leaders and to do penance for doing something wrong. Such is true especially for the Mohammedans. They have done it for years. You recall the story on Mount Carmel when Elijah was praying down the fire from God. The prophets of Baal prayed first. Don't you recall the Bible says they took lancets and they cut themselves? Why? They thought if they cut themselves, their God saw their blood, that their God would come near hearing and sending fire. And so it was not an unusual thing, an uncommon thing, for religious people of heathen pagan religions, and it is not uncommon now, for them to cut themselves. By the way, this thing was forbidden, completely forbidden, in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28, for example, it says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor print any marks upon you. That's why it's unscriptural to have a tattoo. God does not want you to have a tattoo. That's against the Bible. And if you have one, nothing you can do about it. But if you don't have one, be smart enough and scriptural enough not to get one. The Bible says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor print any marks upon you. Now, get the story. The prophet is speaking to the Philistines, who are about to feel the sword of God, which would not rest in its scabbard for days and weeks and months. God was about to unsheath his sword. God was about to pour out his judgment and wrath upon the Philistine nation. The Bible lists several figures of speech symbolizing that God is about to judge them. Now, the apostle is saying this. He's saying, look, I know you don't have to be judged by God. You don't have to feel the cutting edge of the sword of judgment if you don't want to. You're causing this yourself. You are inflicting this punishment upon you yourself. You don't have to die. You don't have to see your children go hungry. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to be punished. You could turn toward God and turn from your sin, and God would have mercy. God would heal your land and forgive your sin. It was hard for Jeremiah to watch the Philistines. They were headed toward the sword of God. It was difficult for him to know. See, you see, Jeremiah had seen people leave God before. Jeremiah had seen people turn from God before. Jeremiah knew what was down the road. He knew the wrath of God. He knew the judgment of God. And Jeremiah said, I asked the question, how long wilt thou cut thyself? O Philistines, God's wrath is coming. How long will you cut yourself? O Philistines, if you stay in your sin, the judgment of God's going to come. How long wilt thou cut thyself? And over and over and over again, Jeremiah would repeat, how long have thou cut thyself? I know the same thing. I've been preaching a long time, my friends, a long time. I've been licensed to preach now nearly 30 years. I've been pastoring almost 28 years of my life. I've seen tens of thousands of people flirt with God and flirt with sin. I know the consequences of wrong. I know the evil judgment on sin. I know God will always chide. I know that your sin will find you out. You see, I not only have seen you young people, for example, I not only have seen you where you are now, I've seen the crowd that did what you did in the last generation. I've seen how they turned out. I know what's down the road. I've followed step by step by step young people and older people who live for God, and I know it turns out good. And I followed step by step by step younger people who turned from to sin and turned from God and walked their own way. And I know it turns out bad. And I say, how long wilt thou cut thyself? How long wilt thou cut thyself? By the way, it's sort of discouraging to have the remedy. And you know what can cure somebody. I stood there last night, and I said, young lady, I know I can help you. I know. And I said, you know it too. I know I can help you. I know I had the remedy. I knew it. And yet I could not administer it. It's awful hard to watch somebody die of pneumonia when you got a penicillin needle right in your hand. You know what you can do to cure them. It's awful hard to watch somebody die with high blood pressure when you've got some high blood pressure medicine they won't take. It's awful hard to watch somebody die when a blood transfusion would let them live and they won't take the transfusion. It's awful hard for a preacher to live like I live for these years and watch young people go into sin and watch men go into sin and watch people plunge mad long toward a life of misery, heartache, heartbreak, and ruin when I know that I have the answer in the Word of God. I have seen families move to better climates and I've seen how it turned out. I've seen families move because the man wants a better job, make more money, get the chance to get promoted, and I've seen how it turned out. I know it never turns out right. I know it. Listen to me. There never has been a family who left this church for a better climate or a better job or more money who went anywhere for the kids turned out like they ought to turn out. I know what's going to happen. I know. Listen, moms and dads, you listen to me. You go ahead. You say, man, I just don't like these winters. Well, pray tell me who does. Well, I'm just tired of snow. Well, we're not praying for it in July. You're not the only one. You're the only one who doesn't like cold weather. I'm simply saying, when you take it in your own hands to say, I will decide where I live. You're a fool. I want a better job. I want a better climate. I want this. I want that. Now, you don't know. You don't live with people all the time. You don't work with people all the time. You don't know how those kids turn out. They don't come to your home and say, well, how's my boys going to the devil? They don't call you on the phone and say, what can I do? The children don't come to you pregnant before they're married or 16 or 17 years old. They don't come to you. You don't know. But in God's name, why don't you have enough sense to listen to somebody who does know then? I've watched them. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen the children go to the devil. Listen. I stood in my office a few months ago. I got on my knees and begged a couple. In God's name, don't you do that. I said, where are you going to go to church when you move? Then they said, well, we'll find one somewhere. This is not the only church in the whole world. Boy, when you get talking like that, you're just about as carnal as you can get. We don't claim to be the only church in the world, but you better find one like it before you move, or God's going to judge you and your kids are going to go to the devil. They don't believe it. I know. You like the teenager doesn't believe your advice. You like your child that doesn't believe your advice. You say, well, look, I'm older. I know. By the way, I know more about this than you do, and you don't expect your teenagers to follow your advice when you say, I know more than you do, when you won't follow my advice when I happen to know more about this than you do. You say, you must think you're somebody. No, you don't have to be very much to know more about it than you do. I'm saying you better listen to me. I've seen it. And I say, how long will you cut yourself, moms and dads? How long will you cut yourself? I've seen young people who want to have a fling. I've watched them by the thousand. By the way, the devil has no new methods. Today, the young people who go into sin use the same little routine language that they used 25 years ago when I was a country preacher in East Texas. I've got to find out for myself, they say. Brother, the devil put those words in your mouth word for word. I've got to find out for myself. It's time that I found out a few things for myself. Listen, you fool! We've already found out about those things. Same old thing. I've watched them. I've watched them come to my office. They come like a mighty army. They want to have their own, but I have been down the road. I know where you're going. I know the destination. I know it. I know it. I know it. In God's name, listen to me. I've seen young ladies yield their principles to get a husband. I've waved the flag. I've warned them about it. I've seen young ladies in an effort to get a boyfriend park on some dark road and do things they would that she normally would not have done because she's afraid she can't get him. Let the buzzard go. He's not worth having anyhow. I've seen them say, well, you can't have a date. You can't have a boyfriend nowadays if you don't yield yourself a little bit and give a little here and give a little there. Okay, go ahead. But I know what it is. I know where it ends, and I know that it ends in destruction, unhappiness, misery, and oftentimes death. I've seen young people go with the wrong crowds. I've seen young ladies say, "I'll get him saved." Or do I have? I'm talking to a dozen young ladies right now that are flirting with tragedy because they're going with unsaved boys. Tragedy. Now, I've seen the end of the road. I know what happens down the road. I've seen it. I've seen it 25 years. God's name. I want to grab you and I want
to
say,
listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
I'm no novice that just green behind the ears. I'm no person that started preaching yesterday. I'm not a trial preacher. I'm not an apprentice preacher. I've been in this business for 27 years, almost 28 years pastoring churches. I've seen young people more than most any preacher alive live for God and turn out right. I've seen tens of thousands of them go to the devil and literally go to hell. I know what I'm talking about. Why don't you have enough sense to hear what I'm saying? Why will you cut yourself? How long wilt thou cut thyself? I've seen families. Oh, and I've seen this so much, it makes me weep when I think about it. I've seen families get mad at the preacher. And I know I've seen them criticize the preacher at home, or criticize one of the preachers, or criticize the principal, or criticize the administrators. I've seen this dirty, venomous serpent of criticism begin to wiggle its way like a little worm inside a person's heart and mind. And I've seen that thing eat away and eat away and eat away. And I've seen what happens down the line. I've seen the critical child. I've seen the parents leaving the church. I've seen the parents going to some other church. I do not know of one single young person who's turned out right, whose mom and dad were critical, serpentine critics, decided to leave and go somewhere. I don't know the one of them. Most of them don't even go to church now. I know. Now stand up here and I say, how long wilt thou cut thyself, O critic? Listen, you're the one going to lose. You're the one going to lose. The day I said to a young lady about to leave Levi College, a young man about to leave our college, because he'd been influenced by some dirty gossip. I told him, I said, if you leave the college, we lose one person. That's all. We lose one. But if you leave the college, you lose your friends. You lose your faculty. You lose your church. You affect your entire future. I stand nothing to lose. Good night if we lost 100 people out of the church here. I don't want to lose anybody, but we lost 100 people. We're still going to go ahead and have church. I mean, what's the difference in 15,210 and 15,110? Now, I don't want to lose that 100. Now, I love you. I don't want anybody to do it. But let me say, you stand to lose everything. I know what happens. I know. How long wilt thou cut thyself? I've seen people, for 27 years I've seen this, I've seen people drop out of the Wednesday night service casually. As sure as I'm an inch high. Listen to me. Hear me. As sure as I'm an inch high. I know some people whose children are going to go to the devil. I mean the devil. I mean they won't even be in church when they get grown. I mean they'll be drinking liquor and cussing and living like the heathen world, all because a few moms and dads didn't want to walk up these steps right out here. That is utter moronic. I know people that have not been to church here for 4 months. Let me tell you something. Turn the right microphone on, please. I would get out here on these steps on Saturday night. And I'd walk up a step and sit there on that step till I got energy enough to go up the next step. And if I had to wait 2 hours to get enough energy, I'd wait 2 hours and walk up here and I'd sit down like I've got nothing more energy. Then I'd stand there. Listen, I'd do that just to get my kids to hear this sermon this morning. How ignorant can people be? How stupid can we get?
Well, you say, I just don't see it that way. Well, you believe somebody that knows more about it than you know. You pastor, how many of you pastored churches 27 years? Stand up. How many of you have 94 preacher boys pastoring churches across the country and around the world this morning? Stand up! How many of you have sent 2,000 or 3,000 young people at Christian colleges and see them serve God around the world now? Stand up! Let me tell you something. You won't like this, maybe you get mad, but I'm going to do it for your own sake. Listen, when it comes to knowing how to turn kids out right, there is not a person in this room who knows as much as this preacher. So you think you're something. No, I think you're a fool. Any doctor that wouldn't tell you he knows how to keep you well is not a good doctor. Any lawyer that can't say to you, I can represent you adequately in court, is not a good lawyer. Any cook that says, I'm not sure I can feed you, you may die of poison for my food, is not a good cook. I'm not cocky, I'm not conceited, but I know something about turning kids out. He said, I don't agree with you. Well, then believe me then. How long will you cut yourself? I have cried. I've gotten on my knees. David Hiles, and I want to make this statement this morning, and I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it, he is far and away the most burdened youth director and concerned youth director in America today. And I'll defend him to the hilt. If he is my son or not my son, I'll defend him to the hilt. And every youth activity we have in our church, I'm responsible for it. If you have a complaint, you come to me. I'm responsible. Totally. Completely. I want you to know, we've given ourselves. We've given ourselves. Try to make something out of your kid. My boy sat in my office yesterday morning, tears rolling down his cheeks. Heart crushed. He said, Dad, what can we do for the young folks in America? They don't have a chance! What can we do? It's time God's people listen to God's prophet for a change. It's time you burned your dirty Dr. Spock books and don't give them away. Burn them! Send them back to the hell where they originated. It's time you quit reading the Ladies' Home Journal and the dirty psychiatrists and psychologists that tell you a bunch of rot and filth, and you came to the prophet of God and said, prophet of God, you tell me how I can turn my kids out right. I've seen it so much. And by the way, I dare you to check my record. There are parents in this room this morning. We're sitting right here, right now, with a critical spirit. I dare you to check, see how their kids turn out. I dare you. You say, you must think you're something. No, I happen to think I'm one of God's prophets. That's what I think. How long are you going to cut yourself? How long are you going to suffer your pain? How long? You're going to feel the judgment of God. How long? You're going to head toward a life of misery. How long, young people? How long? How long, moms? How long, dads? How long? I've seen people drop out on Wednesday night church services. And I've seen them. Now look, you say, what's wrong by missing Wednesday night? It is not the wrong of missing Wednesday night. It is the spirit that makes you not want to come on Wednesday night that's going to ruin you. I've seen them by the thousands. I know where you're headed. I know. I know where you're going. I know the trail that you're following. How long will you cut yourself? I've seen young people take their first drink.
I've seen you social drinkers. And brother, we've been caught up in this mad generation of liquor drinking, where liquor runs like a river at every company party, till we Christians even times don't want to be different. I'll tell you what, brother, if you took a one little sip of a martini at a Christmas party, you ought to hit the mourner's bench this morning. I've seen the end of the trail. I know where it goes. I've seen the Naomis who turned from pleasant to bitter because they went to Moab. I've seen the Samsons grinding at the mill who flirted with sin, the pleasures of sin for a season. I've heard him groan as he goes round and round, feeling eyes that have been gashed out by the enemy. I have seen the Davids weeping at little boys' graves. I have seen them as they say, "He cannot come back to me." I have seen the Davids follow horses to baby lands. I have seen him as he realized because of his sinfulness, his life is wrecked, his life is ruined. I have seen the Lots choose the well-watered plains toward Sodom, knowing what was going to happen. I have seen them as they went to Sodom. I have seen them as they got mixed and mingled with the Sodomites. I have seen them as they rose to place of authority and power. I have seen the Lots as they got rich and became prestigious. I have also seen them when the judgment came. I've seen them when their wives have turned to pillars of salt and their children have become guilty of incest. I've seen the Lots and little Zoar looking at little illegitimate babies born from their own lustful nature and in a shameful relationship with their own daughters. I've seen little Moabs playing in the front yard. I've seen little Ammons playing in the front yard. I've heard the wail and the cry of Lots who look back over life and lament the fact they didn't listen to God's man. I've seen them, I've heard them, they ring in my ears by night and by day. I've seen the Absaloms hanging from a tree who rebelled against their father and wore long hair. I've seen the Jacobs weeping at Bethel, lonely and forsaken because they could not stay at home because of their sin. I've seen the Judas Iscariots flinging their bodies down a hillside and their bowels gushing out, taking their own lives. I've seen suicides of the Judas Iscariots who couldn't face life because of the ravages of sin. Well, I know the devil's cup tastes good, but you wait till you get that last swallow. I know the devil's drink sparkles like new wine, but you wait till you get the dregs of it. I've seen the Ananias and Sapphira's rob God. That's why I plead with you, tithe. I plead with you for your own life to tithe. I plead with you for the life of your children to tithe. I plead with you for your own safety to tithe. I plead with you for long life to tithe. I plead with you for your kids' lives to tithe. I plead with you to tithe if for nothing else to save your own skin, your own hide. I've seen the Ananias and Sapphira as the offering plates passed by, and as they opened their billfolds and took out one little dollar and dropped it in, they may as well have taken a gun and pointed it to heaven's bank and taken God's money. I've seen them! I've seen them! I've seen them rob God! And I've also seen them drop dead with heart attack. I've seen them roll to the cemetery at the age of 30 and 35 because they robbed God. I've seen the Ananias and Sapphira. I've seen their funeral services. I've seen their pain. I've seen their suffering. I've seen their anguish. I've seen their heartache. I know how they turn out. I have been down the road. I was out east not long ago. We're having some services. I had rented a car. I came to a flashing car, a bubble on top of a car, flashing on and off. A highway patrolman got out of the car and came back and flagged me down like that. I stopped the car and the highway patrolman said to me, "Mister," he said, "there has been a flood in this area." He said, "Just over a hill down the way, there's a bridge that's out." Now he said, "You wouldn't know it. If you're going very fast, you wouldn't know it soon enough to stop if you were going very fast." Now he said, You'd have to take a detour. The bridge is out down here. Suppose I'd have said, who do you think you are, God? I have as much right to my opinion as you do yours. Suppose I'd had Linda and Cindy and David in the back seat. He said, Mister, you and your children will be killed if you keep on going. I said, I don't believe you. Listen, they're my kids, and I know as much about them as you do, and I know as much about... He said, I know, but you've not been where I've been. I've been down the road. I've seen the bridge out. I've seen the flood. There is a bridge out. You'll be killed. I would have been a fool not to listen to the fellow who had seen what I hadn't seen. I've seen the Malans and Chileans die in Moab in their youth because of sin. I've seen the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel because she wouldn't repent and turn to God. I've seen the prodigal sons and prodigal daughters of the thousands. I dream about them at night. I cry about them in bed. I dream and I cry and I weep and I beg. And I say, oh God, let my people listen to me while I'm preaching. I know I don't stand to make any friends. I'd be willing to make an enemy out of the whole bunch of you to make these kids turn out right. Cuss me if you want to. Either you listen to me and cuss me, then bless me and not listen. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to try to keep my pulpit. I'm not here to try to keep my church. I'm not here to cater to deacons or members of the church. I'm here as God's man to tell you I have been down the road. I know what's down there. I've seen it. Seen the illegitimate babies. Young people, I've seen what happens when you give yourself to promiscuous petting. I've seen what happens. Some of you faculty members in our high school ought to get on your knees and beg God to forgive you for not standing shoulder to shoulder with me about this matter of hand-holding and petting and necking. Very idea of a faculty member kissing her boyfriend. I heard of one. If I found out who she is, I'll fire before dark. We're not going to have a bunch of faculty members hugging and kissing boys on Saturday night and teaching our girls and boys not to do it on Monday morning. Because I don't like that. Then lump it. I've been down the road. I've seen the illegitimate babies. I've heard the cries. I've heard it so much in my office till I... I've heard the cries of little 16 and 17-year-old girls who stand there with their stomachs pooching out, 6 and 7 months pregnant. I've heard it till I dream about it. And I say, oh God, what can I do? What causes it? Honey, what causes it? Getting these boys and girls alone in cars causes it. I mean, you parents, you won't listen. No, you won't. You think I'm out of date. Yes, I am. I'm as out of date as decency is. You won't listen to me. I plead with you and I beg you. You don't see them. You don't see them as they turn away. Carrying a little baby in their bodies they'll never see. You don't see it. You don't see them. Throw their heads on my shoulder and say, preacher, I want to see my baby. You don't see them. Make the decision of what to do. Shall I have a baby and tell that baby it has no father? Or shall I say goodbye to it forever and wonder for a lifetime, where's my baby? You don't see it! Well, listen to somebody who does.
I've heard. I've seen. I live with it. It's my life. I sometimes wonder how I can be so happy. I sometimes wonder why I can cut up so much. My shoulders are bathed with tears all the time. My heart aches half the time. I went back in the office last night and I said, "Oh God, why wouldn't she listen to me? I know I can help her. How long wilt thou cut thyself?" Kids, how long are you going to cut yourself? How long are you going to cut yourself? How long are you going to listen to the dirty advertisements on television? How long are you going to listen to the dirty tempter who come with his filthy hands and his luring promises? How long are you going to turn your back on God's man and God's word and listen to the devil's advertisements? How long? I've seen the bruises. I've seen her come back in the office after she didn't listen to me. I could make a long play record today, many of them, albums of them, of the tender, sweet voices of little girls that grew up in our church, who come back to my office from several of the aisles. "I heard you preach and didn't believe you. I do now." I've had in my office in the last 2 weeks, I've had at least 10 young ladies, faces scarred by sin. In their early 20s, they look like they're 35 years of age. Life wrecked and ruined. One young lady said to me, "I've had 3 abortions." Another one said to me, "Brother Hiles, I thought it wasn't much to park and neck. I thought it wasn't much to give myself in pleasure. I didn't believe you. I thought you were too narrow. She said to me, "I've slept with men of every color in the world." I mean, one of our own Sunday school girls whose parents are sitting in this room now. She said, "I've slept with men of every color, red and yellow, black and white." She said, "I've taken 2 babies of my own in abortion." How long are you going to cut yourself? I'm sorry. I'm not satisfied with that little song and dance. Brother Howes and I just don't agree on everything. Well, of course we don't. But why don't you agree on the things I see that you don't? Why don't you believe I've been down the road and seen the bridges out? You've not been down there. I have. Trust me.